Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, August the 14th, 2017, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your Westside Studios located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we have a show for you today. It is going to be good. We will be talking about this great article, Why Dying Churches Die. It's going to be good. I hope y'all are ready for it today, man. My brother is already here. My brother Cornelius is already here. Pastor Parks is here. He went downstairs to let our special guest in. He's the last man addition to today's show. He is a friend of the show. He has been here several times. Apostle David Rogers will be joining us again today, man. And I'm excited because I wanted to talk about this Charlotte thing, and I felt it was necessary. To get him to be a part of the show for today. And I wanted to have his insight on some stuff, and I'm glad it all happened the way it happened. Our president just went off the air with his late statement, and I want to address that. But let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already, let me do this right now. If as you're coming on, hit the share button. Those of you on Facebook Live, go ahead and hit the share button right now. Just do it. Get it over with. Do it. Don't just hit share. Hit share, then hit invite your friends, and then go down the line and just start pushing the button and inviting your people. You don't want to miss this, man. I'm telling you right now, I promise you, if you ever listened to this show before, today is the day you want to listen to it. I only got 90 minutes. I'm going to give it as much time. I'm going to take advantage of this full 90. I want to talk about a couple things, and then we're going to jump right into our conversation because it's going to be good. Let me give you a rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1, and you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you. If you are on social media, so are we, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. Come on around. We would love to hear from you that way. Bring the bag, don't bring the bag, whatever you want to do. We would love to hear from you that way. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. What else we got? The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. Glad to have you here, brother. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Amen, amen, amen. Ustream.tv. I'll say that one more time. Ustream.tv. You can find us there. And then last but not least, you can subscribe to our podcast by going wherever you listen to your podcast, if you listen to podcasts. Some of y'all do. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can do that. Simply just do a simple search, or as they like to say, Google me. Google us, and you will find us there. Just do a simple Google search for Taking the Limits Off Radio, and you will find us there. Man, it's going to be good. I'm ready. I hope y'all are ready. It's going to be good. Real quick, though, man, I want to talk about a bunch of stuff. Like I said, we only got 90 minutes because, you know, I got somewhere to be. But we're gonna give it the full time, as much time as we can. But I want to address some stuff. I want to address the obvious issue, the reason why y'all can't see Pastor Parks' face. Oh, you. The reason y'all can't see Pastor Park's face on you want to move that up? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, and then tight. Yeah. The reason you can't see Pastor Park's face on Ustream right now, Pastor Parks, you want to help us out? Let us know.
Man,
what.
Listen, so this past weekend, everyone know I play softball. I play on a major team, and we have this thing called Black Nationals. Mm-hmm. So a couple of weeks ago, we had No Glove National where we finished eighth mm-hmm. out of 30 teams, all major teams.
It's not bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all.
It's not bad.
And so this time, we have our own thing mm-hmm. called Black Nationals. And Black Nationals is simply all black teams come together in Indiana. No, it's Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And you play.
Mm-hmm.
And so so happily, we won the championship. I didn't get a chance to make it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole weekend, I didn't get a chance to make it because Saturday I had a big funeral. And it took a lot of my time. And then yesterday, the concert, but then also had some other issues mm-hmm. that I had to take care of. And so they called me up, and I thought we was doing team photos.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they awarded me the trophy. Now, this is my first year with this team
mm-hmm.
Because my team was a major team, but we broke up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they awarded me with the trophy, man, and I'm so happy for the work that we do in the community. So mm-hmm. I'm treating it like it's the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna take it with me.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna take it with me, man. And so, I'm excited for it, man. I'm real excited for it.
That's good.
So I just have to show it off.
Congrats, right? Man. Let me see that thing, man. Let's see that. That's nice.
Wow. Yes, sir.
That's real nice. Got a little weight on it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
City classic.
Yeah. That's yeah. Cool. So we got it, man. And nice. Man, we went undefeated. Actually, the whole tournament.
And this was for which group was this?
Solution.
No, I mean, which league was this? National?
Yeah, so Washington Park, softball.
Right.
Yeah, we know we play every Sunday.
Can they get us a dude on the trophy that looked like a brother?
Oh, my God.
You don't look nothing like.
No, you don't, huh? And so, Washington Park.
Yeah.
So, man, I'm appreciative for them even giving it to me.
You need Wi-Fi or something? Are you good for that?
Yeah.
You sure? Okay. Man, that's good. Man, that's good to hear. So again, real quick, can you do me a favor? Do you have a digital copy of this? Like, can you email it to me now so I can make sure our producer puts it up on the screen for everybody else? Appreciate you. So also, I heard you mention the concert. I did not know you were there.
Yeah.
So I take back some of the bad stuff I said.
Oh,
not
wow.
all of it. That's
okay.
Some of it.
Well, I got the late. I got that late.
But yesterday was Light Fest. Let me say this before I even talk about the concert. Dr. Julian Spencer, pastor of Maine Baptist Church in Aurora. Man, where my sound effect at? Let me get my sound effect right now. That's fine. You can send it there. It don't matter. Yeah, that's work. That'll work. Let me do this right now. This church, this organization, put a grade A presentation together, A+. I mean, from the venue, I'd never been out to Aurora to that venue before, Rivers Edge, Park. It's set up like Ravinia.
Yeah.
And I've never been to Ravinia because I never thought I would enjoy the whole outdoor sitting in the park, bring your own chair type situation. That wasn't my deal, but it was actually really, really nice. All of the people working there, all of the his church that was the host, all of his vendors who helped get the thing going forward, all of his sponsors, his partners. It was an amazing, amazing event. Todd Delaney, oh my God. Oh, my God. Anita Wilson. Oh, my God. And then, of course, Israel Houghton and New Breed. Oh, my God. It was an amazing event. I posted some pictures. There are more. But I, you know what it was? I tried to go live, y'all. But when I'm in worship, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't focus on the worship. And I'm trying to help y'all get there. You know, all I can tell you is you should have been there. I gave y'all a snippet of every little artist I could for the first 2-3 minutes. And then I had to cut it off. I got to worship. I can't sit. You can't, you know, I don't, please don't take it wrong way, but
You know, I felt like Peter, you know, at the Mountain of Transfiguration. It was good for us to be there. Y'all should have been there, yes, too. You had a chance to come. But anyway, it was a good time, man. And big kudos to him and everything else that was there. Great venue, great people out there in Aurora. And I love what he said. He said he wanted to take this opportunity to make Aurora be the beacon of light, so that in a dark world, and man, they gave out these cool little flashlights when we walked in, and as it got dark, you know, they wanted us, and it was right with time when Israel Houghton took the stage, and Israel said, you know what, cut off all my lights. They know who I am. He said, cut off every light so we can see that light. He said, let that light be what people see. And he said, unfortunately, I love Israel because he keeps it real. He said, a lot of churches have been just as dark as the world because they haven't been shining their light the way that they should. I was like, oh my God. So he was amazing, man. It was a great time and excellent. I love musicianship, you know. I mean, just excellent all the way around. Real singing. Let me say that. No track singing. Real singing. You know, it's like, hey, you know, just amazing, amazing. It was a great, great, great time. So anyway, let me do this real quick. How are things at First Bethel? Y'all recovered from the
from the school back to school drive.
From back to school drive. Y'all recovered.
Yeah. I recovered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, so I know it was just
we had Women's Day, Women's Month.
Actually started
first Sunday.
Okay.
And so we had a guest speaker, Evangelist Regina Hall, Houston.
Oh, okay.
One of our supporters. She was good, but she was short, man. Like, I'm not no shade, but I'm not used to a woman preacher being short.
Oh, you mean short like?
No, short.
Like short,
her time.
Oh,
I'm not used to that.
Was she 20 minutes?
No.
She was a lot shorter than that?
Yes. About 12 to 15 minutes.
Well, you know, if you got a word.
Tight. It was a good word. Tight message.
It don't take much.
I love good preaching, but it was a tight message.
You know what? I say anything after 30, you ramble.
Oh,
anyway,
she wasn't. Man, I'm talking about she hit it.
Teaching is different. You can teach 1 hour.
Man,
too, but
she got there. She got there, man.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
it was good. I felt like a Catholic, though. Church was over about 12, 15, man. We started 11.
Y'all just didn't do no kneeling.
Man, listen, I told her, I said, man, I'm up there rambling like, man, we can't go like this, y'all. We got to
awesome.
We gotta cheer for a minute, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Look, y'all, in the studio, y'all see like, okay, y'all ain't going to let the dude in the middle talk. Yeah, I'm going to let him talk, but he's quiet for now. He's quiet for now. Apostle David Rogers, y'all know he's been here from the House of Prayer, of All Nations Ministries, and something, ain't those you got Dominion in your...
Dominion Vision Fellowship International.
Yeah, I was just saying, I know it's a Dominion in there somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Y'all got too many letters in it. You know, if y'all get choir robes, ain't gonna room for all them letters.
Yeah.
Abbreviation.
You don't do that either.
All abbreviations.
So, what's going on, man?
Glad to be here, man.
I appreciate the last minute. I do.
Yes,
and that's unprofessional of me. And I normally let my producer handle it. I text her and I say, hey, I want Rogers to come on, and she was like, really, last minute. Again, I'm like, sorry.
Well, that's important.
And I appreciate you. I do.
Sure.
For running in at the last minute. So real quick, let's let's talk about this real quick, and then we'll jump into, huh?
Let's talk about that, and then the church, and then let's.
Yeah, we're going to do that too.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to talk about this real quick, because I'm about to send you this, what am I sending you? A flyer, if I learn how to talk. I'm about to send you this flyer. For another back-to-school giveaway, because we can never have enough of them. What's going on, man? What you got going on?
This is a part of our community outreach that we do every year. We have five major events. This is one of our most important ones. It's our back-to-school giveaway, where we are in Roseland. 71% of the kids are being raised in single-family, single-guardian homes. Almost 80% are living under the poverty line. So in terms of them having something to go back to school with, most of them won't get anything unless we give them something. And so every year, my wife is our outreach coordinator, her and her team. They put this together. We give out over 300 book bags, clothes. A lot of the kids, their schools have uniforms, so we give out clothes. We also give out clothes to the community for people who need, you know, clothes to go on job interviews and things of that nature.
Wow.
We have our food.
That's awesome.
So we give out, you know, hot dogs, Polishes, chicken wings.
Go back for a
minute.
That's important. I like that you give out for people who don't have stuff to wear to job interviews. That's a group of people that we a lot of times get overlooked. It's not that they don't want to go get the job. It's that they don't have the proper attire to show up at the job. Believe it or not,
attire matters, people. It does.
We have a few shelters that are in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have people that are homeless, and it's hard to keep up your clothes. So for those of us who, you know, we take for granted that we have a long closet and we can go in and, you know, pick something out. But when you're living in a shelter, you're not really given a lot of personal space. So they come to our church. We give them suits, ties, dress shoes, dresses, women's two-piece suits so that they can go and get jobs. And if, once they get employed, we put them in our credit repair program, and then we help them buy their own home. So we try to transition them from the shelter to home ownership.
Now, who is taking in? Do you all still need clothing?
I know you want any clothes,
but you like those interview type of type. Because I know some folk probably got some suits and some pantsuits and some dresses.
Need
and
interview stuff, but they need all types of clothes.
Right, right.
Because most of them are only down to, you know,
I get
two or three outfits.
Absolutely.
You know, and a grown man or you're a grown woman.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to, you know, feel nice and look nice. So anything that you can donate is going directly to them.
Amen.
So we'd appreciate that. And monetary donations that you want to do, you want to bring some school supplies by the church. We're located at the House of Prayer for All Nations, 11304 South Edbrook in Chicago in the Roseland community. So anything you want to donate, we'll accept it.
Got you. Hey, y'all, I understand that the sound is bad. I think I know what happened when I started the Facebook Live. Y'all getting the feed from the camera and not from the system. So what I'm going to have to do is this. I'm going to have to go out so you can stop inviting for a minute. I'm going to go out. I'm going to restart the Facebook Live portion of the feed. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick minute and a half break. We're going to come back. Want to make sure we finish addressing that. And then we're going to jump into what happened right around the corner. Friendship Baptist Church. It's insane, y'all. But, hey, you know what? We saw it coming. I'm just going to leave it at that. We saw it coming. But we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into conversation. Again, Taking Limits Off Radio, Cornelius Parks, David Rogers in the house. It's going to be good, y'all. We'll be right back. TTLO.
Get around, get a chance to go.
Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company. amazing.
Amen, amen, amen. We are back. We are, okay, turn that down.
Yeah, we are back. We should be back, right? Everybody's back. Y'all can hear us. Everybody's good. You got sound?
No, you have no mic. I know that, but y'all got sound. Right.
Everybody got sound?
One, two.
Yeah, we good.
I can hear myself a little bit.
Parks, you good down there?
Yeah.
Amen, amen. Let me get the right feedback up. Sound ought to be better for y'all on Facebook, too. We ought to be real good. Everything ought to be good. But we are back. We were having a conversation, man. And again, we're going to promote this event again before we get out here. This, and they got one more other event, too. It's a food giveaway. It's a basketball tournament for food giveaway. I think all you have to do is bring some canned goods or something, and you can bring a team or something together, and they're giving the food away.
Where's that?
I find out. She sent me the flyer. I need to pull it up. But I want to address something else that happened. This weekend, with all the great stuff that was going on, it's like, you know, Parks, you with the softball, and yeah, we had the Light Fest thing going on, and all the great things led up to it. Unfortunately, there were two, I'm not going to call them equally tragic, but horrible events. One local that affects us locally, and then one on a national level that still affects us, but it affects us nationally.
Yeah.
Right.
Friendship Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Pastor Parks, you're closer with Reverend Backus,
yeah,
than anyone else up here. Give us your insight as to what.
All right. So what happened yesterday at Friendship?
Was this after church?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay. Help. When did
it was going into church?
Oh, so this happened in the morning.
Yeah.
See, that's okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Guys was coming in for service.
Mm-hmm.
And man, from what the record said,
mm-hmm,
a guy in a gray truck pulled up and shot both of the guys. One of the guys had his kids with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it pretty much disturbed the whole neighborhood. And then also it disturbed the entire social media, because you had somebody recording the whole thing, not the shooting, but recording the bodies laying right in front of the church, man, on the stairs. Well, not on the stairs, but almost on the stairs. Right in front of church, Lehman Jackson Friendship Baptist Church. Now, the question is hitting home. It has hit home.
I made this comment to, I was talking to my producer yesterday, and I said, this is the first time, at least publicly, Sundays have always been the quiet day.
Mm-hmm.
Even over here.
For everybody.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Even over here, it's been the quiet. It's been the day, hey. And I don't like the word. It's not an I told you so type deal. It ain't that.
Yeah.
But we saw this coming. Not with Friendship. But we knew it was going to happen eventually. Yeah. And that the people in this community who are doing what they're doing were going to get so comfortable enough in doing it, because they don't feel any repercussions from us.
Yeah.
They ain't worried about the police, but because they don't feel any repercussions from us, that they're comfortable enough on a Sunday morning. See, now you really messed me up, because I thought this happened yesterday afternoon, because that's when I found out about it. Because,
no,
see, we in here worshiping. I ain't know nothing about nothing.
No. Morning.
That they feel comfortable enough to pull up to a church while folks are on their way to worship, despite what the reasoning was for the shooting. These folks was on their way to church.
Yeah.
And you shot them on the stairs?
Yeah.
Both. One got taken to – one died on the scene, and the other
right,
one –
pronounced dead, and the other,
yeah,
one was at the
hospital. And, you know, it's – I don't even know what to say about it, man. It's terrible, and it's heartening.
Apostle Rogers?
We are suffering from a psychological disconnect in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to kind of try to tie these two incidents together so that we can see,
okay,
the insanity of what we're dealing with.
Okay.
We have two young men on their way to church get executed in, on the doorstep of a church, while at the same time, neo-Nazis, Ku Klux Klans, white supremacists, and white nationalists are running people over with cars in Charlestonville, Virginia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, you have entire groups of white nationalists and white supremacists
mm-hmm.
who have vowed in their mission statements,
mm-hmm.
who we know historically since mm-hmm. the founding of the Ku Klux Klan in 1865, they have made it their life mission
mm-hmm.
to murder, rape, maim, castrate, kidnap, and destroy black people. Since mm-hmm. 1865, this has
yeah.
been their mission.
Mm-hmm.
There has not been one single federal inquiry to arrest the leaders of any of these organizations, to criminalize any of their behaviors that are historical since 1865. We've never had a standing president tap the director of the FBI, the CIA, or the National Security Team and say, go after the Ku Klux Klan, find out who their leaders are,
mm-hmm.
lock them up,
yeah.
persecute them to the fullest extent of the law, even though their mission statement tells us and their historical practice is the destruction and the murder of black people. Now, in Virginia, the same time this stuff is going on,
mm-hmm.
they are carrying out their mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
Another one breaks out in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
They're carrying out their mission statement. While these white supremacists
mm-hmm.
are targeting black people for extinction,
mm-hmm.
we in Chicago are suffering from white supremacy
mm.
at work in the minds of black people
ah.
who have had the exact same mission in their heads mm. since the 60s. And we have not addressed it at length from our community. Because when you're black and you kill black people, you go to jail. When you're white and you kill black people, you become president.
I got a question. So is they mission protected?
They are protected.
No, their speech is
I
protected.
Challenge anybody.
Yeah.
I challenge anybody to look through the annals of the legislation of the United States of America and find out where it has been criminalized for the Ku Klux Klan, the neo-Nazis, skinheads, Aryan Brotherhood. There are over 100 vowed white supremacist, white nationalist groups that exist in the United States today that have historically lynched, robbed, bombed, maimed, raped, and kidnapped black people. There has never been a federal inquiry on their behavior. Now, black gangs, they were investigated. Their leadership was dismantled. They were thrown into prison. The mafia was supposedly attacked by the RICO statutes and laws. They were arrested. Their leadership was castigated, thrown into penitentiaries.
Mm-hmm.
When has the Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazis, Aryan Brotherhood, and skinheads ever been under federal investigation, indictments for their criminal activity against black and minorities in this country? It has never happened. And now we have a standing president after neo-Nazis run over an entire crowd of people,
mm-hmm.
beat people with
mm-hmm.
sticks and poles.
Mm-hmm.
He gets up and says that there's problems on every side. Well, every side wasn't out there killing and beating people with pipes and poles. And then today, on my way in
here,
he gives this fake two-minute statement.
Yeah, that was today,
right,
yeah.
right before the show. Yeah.
When Steve Bannon, who he has
his alt-right,
is a part
yeah.
of the alt-right,
yes.
Dave Miller,
uh-huh.
alt-right,
yeah.
McMaster, alt-right, these people that are in his administration adhere to this,
uh-huh.
and this is why this man cannot speak outrightly. But when Hillary was running,
uh-huh.
when the terrorist attacks went on in Paris, he said, why won't you call this Islamic terrorism?
Exactly.
Oh, no, they got mad because Obama
both of them
wouldn't call,
yeah.
wouldn't say it. But when it happens, let's expand this a little bit more, if we can. I know we'll see that article because it ain't gonna happen. I just don't think it will. Tanya, you let me know. I'll follow your lead. But let's go back because you said the government has never tried to shut this down.
Never.
Not made a real effort ever to shut this down.
Never.
But they infiltrated the Black Panther Party. They infiltrated the Nation of Islam. They infiltrated all these things.
It doesn't mean infiltrate. They killed.
Well, no, they did. I'm not saying they were able to do that because they infiltrated and had people on the inside giving them information. They have not or will not do that with these other organizations.
No.
Do you think? And let's just because I want to talk to my conservative friends because we are still friends. I still love y'all. I do. I want to talk to my conservative friends. And how much more empowered do you think these people have feel now because of who's in the White House?
Well, let's deal with something tangible that people can research.
Okay, come on.
Back in 1980, David Duke ran for president.
Okay.
He was a Democrat.
Yes.
Now, anybody can go look this stuff
up. Yes, he was.
Then he switched parties.
Yes.
And then right before his second presidential bid, he became a Republican.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to say this nice.
It's okay.
So David Duke, the known Grand Imperial Dragon for the Ku Klux Klan, switched political parties for expediency.
Yes.
Now, these same individuals, because for those of you who are African-American who don't know your history, the Democrats or the Democratic Party came from the Dixiecrats, which was the political party south of the Mason-Dixon line, which was avowed defenders of the slave trade in the United States of America. Lyndon B. Johnson in 1960, this is documented history, said, excuse my language. I'm going to use the language that he used.
It's fine. Go for it.
In 1960, he said, I'm going to have niggers voting for Democrats for the next 1,000 years. And he created the Welfare Reform Act. And in that act, in order for a family to receive benefits, a man could not be in the house. So this was a part of a strategic dismantling of the black family because the black family was building the black church, which was spearheading the civil rights and the human rights movement. And so we don't understand our history. So after the Welfare Reform Act is when the voting bloc from African Americans who would never vote Democrat shifted in the 60s. When that voting bloc shifted from Republican, you never had a black person voting Democrat in the United States of America because the Ku Klux Klan was bombing our churches, raping our daughters, and lynching our men, dragging them out of prison, beating them, dragging them on the back of pickup trucks. But after this legislation gets passed, in the 60s, blacks began to vote Democratic in overwhelming numbers, and then they began to infiltrate the church, they began to infiltrate the NAACP, the SCLC. They assassinated Dr. King. They assassinated Medgar Evers. They assassinated Malcolm X. They assassinated John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Robert Mbukwe over in South Africa, all of the freedom fighters. And those who they did not kill, they incarcerated. And those they didn't incarcerate, they paid to be the next leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the people that you have in leadership now were those who were paid to become the leaders who we have now, who will not call this country on the carpet for their lack of criminalization of white supremacy that exists in this country.
And that's accurate.
And after they assassinated our leaders, they replaced them with gang leaders, and that's a fact. The CIA, they started the Vietnam War. They started the Vietnam War to bring drugs and heroin to stop the Black Renaissance in Harlem.
Right.
Okay, this is all documented.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they were eliminating our black conscious leaders. They were raising up Jeff Fort, David Barksdale, and Larry Hoover. They sent Triple T Rogers, who was a member of the main 21 Blackstones, out to California. He started the Bloods. Tukey Williams started the Crips. And gangs replaced black civil organizations. Because you remember, the Blackstones used to be the Blackstone Rangers.
Right.
So the mafia that was paid, that came into from Detroit to Chicago, began to pay at the behest of the CIA, and they went from a black civil organization to a street gang. Now, this is documented fact. And so the same individuals that did that were the same individuals that partnered with the U.S. government and George Bush, who was one of the parts of the CIA, to assassinate John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy.
Junior. Baby Bush.
Yeah.
Daddy Bush, right?
And,
wrong year.
And for his allegiance to white supremacy and the destruction of black civil rights leaders,
president.
He became the CIA director in 1976 and the president of the United States in 1990. That's what we're dealing with. We always deal with the surface stuff. We never deal with the root. Well, why are black people killing black people? Well, look at how it was engineered.
Yeah.
Because prior to the 60s, that's not what we were doing.
But there's no but. I'm just – you heard the statement that Trump was forced to make this morning.
Yeah.
Then I say forced because somebody in his cabinet finally said – you can't sit silent.
You got to say something.
You have to say something, and you got to clean up what you didn't say on Saturday,
it's
on Friday.
Late.
It is too late.
Too late.
It is too late. I listened to the statement, and I'm not one to like to, but when it comes to him, I have to parse the words, and I listened to what he said. He started off talking about the economy.
Foreign trade.
Tax breaks and all this other stuff. And then he said, but there's this other thing. Like it was not a big deal. That we got to address. He named all the stuff that happened wrong before he even mentioned who the perpetrators were. But then even in mentioning the KKK and the alt-right and the other and the neo-Nazis, even before mentioning them or after mentioning them, he said, and all the other hate organizations. Once again, he tries to put this large blanket.
Yeah.
No, bro, we need you to address this one issue.
Yeah,
you can't.
And he can't because of how much money they sold into his campaign. If you go all the way back to the very beginning when they tried to get him to denounce David Duke, I don't know David Duke. That ain't what we asked you.
So my question is still, is there some type of legislation sealed against the KKK?
No. Never has been.
You can kill black people with impunity. For centuries, and the United States government will not do anything about it. But watch this. The brother that was over the manufacturing board who resigned this morning for Donald Trump's failure to address this
Merck
issue.
Industries.
As soon as he resigned, Donald Trump was on Twitter naming him by name then throwing shots at him saying, now that you've resigned, you can start ripping off people with high drug prices. So you said something about that within 5 minutes.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Anytime anything goes on, you're in Twitter. You're creating foreign policy on Twitter five times a day.
Yes.
Yeah.
But black people and white people who are standing up for justice who get killed
you say nothing.
By white supremacists, you don't say nothing for 3 days.
Yeah.
And what you say is force. There was no passion behind
none.
It. There was no love behind it. You are as fake as two left feet.
Yeah.
And you white evangelical Christians,
right.
black
right.
evangelical Christians,
right. That's
that
a,
are lying and prophesying. And
now you're hammering home
God
right there.
And all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he's the Cyrus and he's the Messiah and all of this foolishness. You are a complete liar and you are under severe deception if you believe this man has any messianic qualities.
Where your boy at?
Who that?
Ohio?
Don't go there.
Ohio,
I'm being messy. I'm just, you know, I wonder what, you know, and did you happen to see, and it's kind of in the same vein because it happened right before this thing in Charlotte happened. Did you see the National Black Journalist, the National Black Journalist convention they had and Omarosa was there? I don't know if you saw the video clip of that. It kind of went viral because the brother who used to be on BET used to do BET News, Ed, the black guy. What is Ed's last name? Y'all help me. But he was the one as the host, and they invited some the Trump campaign, of course, to come. Someone from the Trump administration, I shouldn't say campaign, to come. And of course, nobody wanted to come. But then Omarosa came, and you know Omarosa, y'all know who Omarosa.
Sure.
Yeah, she was on the. She got famous because of the what's the name of his show that he was firing people?
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice. Ed Gordon. Thank you, Ed Gordon. Used to do BET News, and he's you know educated brother. Love him. He sticks to the point. He don't sugarcoat nothing. I like Ed Gordon because I think he's the one who did the interview with R. Kelly when R. Kelly first got in trouble. That's what.
Yeah,
that was, and he hit the real questions like, bruh,
what's good?
You know. So him and Omarosa got into it. because he asked Omarosa how did she feel President Trump was addressing all of the crime that is happening against black folks with police brutality and everything else. And her response was, I lost a father and a brother. And so he let her say what she said, because her father and brother died to black people were killed by white folk. He let her finish the story. He's like, okay, how do you think the president is handling it? She goes, oh, so you just going to disregard my father and my brother. No, no, no. I gave you your floor. You said what you said. Now get back to the person you work for, whose office you
exactly.
sit in.
Right.
You wow. supposedly have access to, that you can walk in and out, well, used to at least, be able to walk in and out of the Oval Office. What's the response? So there's this five-minute clip of them two literally yelling at each other on the stage, and all of the sisters in the room got up and turned their backs to the stage because they're like, this is foolishness. Mm-hmm. But I say that to say, these folk, you mentioned them, white evangelicals, black
evangelicals,
and black conservatives who said this guy would be better than that girl.
Yeah.
Where are they right now at this moment? Because I will say this. Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Not a fan. Lindsey Graham. Not a fan. But they stood up immediately and said this president should have been forceful with his words.
Yeah.
This president, even they know.
But here's the problem.
Go ahead.
Because
it's after the fact.
If Donald Trump would have addressed it on the first day.
Yes.
It does not deal with the issue.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
See, we want these That's presidents good. To say things, but this is their power. They have the power of legislation.
Yeah.
The thing that made Dr. King so powerful. I went to school in Selma, Alabama. So I had an opportunity, and it was an honor, to sit in a room with pastors who worked with Dr. King exclusively on the Poor People's Campaign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing about that. I'm 18, 19 years old. I'm green. I just got saved, just got to the church, answered my call, and decided to go to school in Selma, Alabama to learn the Bible and to learn apologetics
mm-hmm.
so that I could preach from a place of knowledge.
Mm.
And I wound up there in those meetings on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock, talking to pastors who hazarded their lives for the liberty of black people.
Wow.
And this Poor People's Campaign that was initiated to bring parity was also designed to bring legislation like the Voting Rights Act,
yeah.
the Housing Rights
mm-hmm,
Act,
mm-hmm.
the Fair Employment Act. All of those things came out of legislation. We have not had a standing president since Abraham Lincoln to draft any legislation that criminalizes white supremacy in the United States of America. Not one. And until we get a president with enough gonads to write legislation, they will continue to terrorize black citizens, Hispanic citizens, gay citizens, or white people that they consider are nigger lovers. They're going to continue to kill, lynch, maim, and beat people that are different than them with impunity. The boy that went into the Dellen Carruth, what is the name?
Oh,
went into the
yeah,
church.
Went into the church.
He
yeah.
murdered nine
Dellen,
people,
Dellen
yeah.
Roof, yeah.
nine black people in
church.
A Bible study,
yeah.
and
yeah.
they took him to Burger King
before,
for lunch.
Yeah,
for lunch.
Before he, before, yeah.
The guy that just ran over 19, 20 people
mm-hmm.
in Virginia yesterday,
mm-hmm.
they charged him with second degree
second
murder.
Second degree, not first degree, with intent.
Right.
What,
second
what,
degree
what,
murder.
What was his intent? His foot got stuck on the pedal.
He accidentally ran over a crowd of protesters.
He accidentally ran into the back of two cars and then backed up and drove away from the scene.
If we don't get our minds right, because here's the other thing that we
I'm glad
failed.
You're going there because that leads to a question from a listener. Go ahead.
What we're dealing with here in Chicago, what we're dealing with on a national platform in terms of our political influence and power.
Yeah.
We've got to divorce ourselves from protest politics, and we've got to begin to invest in candidate development.
Mm.
We don't have anybody in these arenas that are speaking on our behalf. And then when we finally get somebody in there,
they all lie.
They're always by themselves.
They
so
never
have no collective support and power to address issues that are germane to the urban environment where black people live at.
Let me. Okay. So that's just, you open the door for two.
Exactly.
For two questions, but I want to address this one, this first one. And this is to you two guys, cause y'all sit in those seats called pastoral seats.
Yeah.
Evangelist Angela L. Taylor, bless you for watching and listening,
bless you,
says, my question is, how is the body of Christ going to address their followers? How are we as a church going to respond and guide our people through this process?
Well, one, we got to define what the church is, because a lot of this stuff that's calling itself church lacks any type of nomenclature of the nature of Christ.
Okay, so let's deal with the actual church,
the
perpetrators.
The actual church needs to engage in economic development so that we can fund the development of candidates. The Revelation 1 and 6 calls us kings and priests.
Mm.
Kings and priests.
Kings takes over the political side.
Yes.
Priests is for the spiritual
side.
Have the
spiritual
gotcha.
Side.
Uh-huh.
The church has divorced ourselves from politics under the lie of there is a separation of church and state. I challenge anybody. Look at any founding document that you can find, the preamble, the Constitution, any founding document for these United States, there is no such language in any of it for separation of church and state. That phrase came from a letter that was written by Thomas Jefferson that explained that the state would not define what religion you could follow, but it was not a divorce from religion.
It's and also so a way to keep the government out of the church's money.
Right, but we got to understand our role as kingdom citizens mm-hmm. is to begin to push the agenda of the kingdom of God. That means we need to be involved in politics, because politicians are legislating things that are violently opposed to our assignment and our nature. And because we're not in it, now all the demonized people are in politics. They're passing legislation. They just upped the defense bill. So now we were already at $750 billion a year in defense. That mm-hmm. means we spent more than the top 10 nations combined.
Yeah.
They just upped that $150 billion. So now we're at $900 billion
right.
on defense,
right.
and we're in a city where they're closing schools.
Oh, yeah, because that you just said something about earlier, which I said you opened up 2 points, because
yeah.
you said that doing stuff that would help economically push up and support black folks, because we just had a governor who vetoed a bill because it was, he felt there was too much money coming into
Yes.
yeah.
yeah. Yeah, he vetoed. I'm sorry. Veto that part of the bill.
Yes,
he went in and with you know with a pen and deleted that part.
A yeah. white billionaire business leader.
Yes, yes, who was supported by supported by African American pastors in this city
who got tired of the Democratic people
yeah.
in this city taking our vote while at the same time taking advantage of us.
Yeah.
Because all of the Democratic governors that we've had have gone to jail for corruption.
Well,
exactly.
Only one Democrat went to jail. The other two was Republicans.
No.
All of our governors.
Our governors, yeah.
Yeah,
governors.
I'm just saying. Because yeah. Warren was Democrat, but
our Democratic
yeah.
mayor,
Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan was, yeah.
Our Democratic
mayor
that got sent here by our Democratic president that
yeah.
closed 50 schools in
yeah.
our community,
yeah.
have never been held accountable. We got preachers down there grinning in his face.
Yeah.
The Department of Justice sent recommendations from the federal government
yeah.
on police oversight
mm-hmm.
for the murder of unarmed black citizens
mm-hmm.
who are not in the commission of crime.
Mm-hmm.
And our Democratic mayor
mm-hmm.
has not followed one recommendation.
Well, the new attorney general said that we're going to hold on all that, remember? See, that's the unfortunate part about that decision was made when the black attorney general was on her way out. So now you get Jeff Sessions from the South, who is a known yeah. you know, and so he's like, well, we're going to look at some of those recommendations. So that's why we're going to.
No, they set the recommendations already.
Right.
They're on Rahm Emanuel's desk.
Yeah.
He has not implemented one of them.
But they ain't going to.
But he's suing the United States government for the
right.
free,
yeah.
Free city.
So that you can let the rest of the. Yeah.
The sanctuary
city. Sanctuary
city.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
my question.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Come August 27th, 28th, there's supposed to be a 1,000 clergy ministers march.
Yeah, did you know about that?
In Washington, D.C.
I saw
it.
Oh, you do know about it.
So now that all this is taking place in Virginia,
you going?
Do you think that they should divert and go up to Virginia or remain in D.C.? Or what is your take on that?
It's right up the street.
It's right up the street.
I appreciate the desire to want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
However,
now this was scheduled before.
Right. This was already scheduled before.
I know.
Before.
I was
okay.
in the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
And again, I appreciate the desire to want to go to Washington and protest. It does nothing to change the landscape. this is what's about to happen. So because we forget our history. There's an old adage, he who forgets his history is doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is in office.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting him out of office.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you going to Washington, spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to march around the city square to complain about a person who is not going to leave office is a waste of time, energy, and resource, in my opinion. I believe that there are people who are skilled and qualified to do it. I know Al Sharpton is a part of it. He's a sharp man, and I'm sure he has some great things to say. But that will not change the dynamic of Donald Trump being in office.
Or his cabinet.
His insightful rhetoric that has created
yes.
context for these organizations, these white supremacists, white nationalist organizations to be emboldened. That's part one. Part two is we're getting ready tomorrow to begin war maneuvers in North Korea, which is going to create the context for Donald Trump to have a second term.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the crux of this battle, as African Americans, as Hispanics, as minorities in this country who are being taken advantage of, we still have not identified a candidate to deal with a second presidential term. We haven't dealt with the UN. We haven't wrote anything to the UN to say, hey, there needs to be some global say-so about this issue with North Korea.
That's good.
This is not some kind of plaything where you're just going to throw a couple of bullets around. We're talking about thermonuclear war, the external
of hundreds of thousands of people because some
non-political business guy from New York who's got an attitude problem don't know how to keep his mouth shut.
And I guess we don't understand the state of emergency that this was going on in our nation. We're overlooking because we have so many what we would call minor issues that's taking place in our vicinity that the overall picture that we're losing focus on, and that's their focus. Here, when I look at the 1,000 minister clergy march, 45 could call a meeting in D.C. at this particular time that would pull all the politicians away from this march. So the effectiveness of this march wouldn't be as effective because we don't have the voice no longer.
Here's another problem. If 45 calls them into a meeting and writes a check, they will no longer become protesters. They'll become supporters.
Supporters.
We already have that problem.
Most definitely. I totally agree.
And so you're right on point, and this is our problem. Those of us who have the solutions, we've got to galvanize.
Exactly.
We've got 2 years to deal with this situation from a political, legislative candidate posture.
Exactly.
Like, does it have to start locally, too?
It has to start locally. We don't have no money, man. Let's be honest.
Right.
The sister asked a question about the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I say we got to get some kind of distinction about what the body of Christ
is. But the cow on the thousand heels is here.
What is the economic agenda for the church?
But the cow on the thousand heels
to become political
is here.
We can't even vote on aldermen in office. We've got 50 aldermen that voted over $550 million worth of police settlement in this country.
It has to. The cow on the thousand heels.
I don't
want
to hear it.
I'm just saying that's what's being preached.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
And they're right. It is his. But how you going to get it? You got to go take it.
What is your strategy?
See, the problem now, there have not been no prevention taking place.
No.
None whatsoever, or no levels. And so now it's causing us to try to intervene, but we intervene with not the proper knowledge.
Yeah.
And so now we're just trying to we're trying to put things together that we don't fully understand ourselves. Now, when you look at if we start locally, who is it that we can raise up right now to be that voice for African Americans? Who is that person that we can trust enough that if they get behind closed doors, they're not going to sell out or become Uncle Tom? And the problem is we can't find anyone. And the ones that we can find don't have the notoriety. They have the knowledge. They don't have the notoriety or the face or the name to be given to become that individual. Because, number one, they're not going to allow anyone who's not going to sell out be at that meeting or that table.
We got to create our own table.
The black agenda. We've been trying to do that for how long now?
We've been trying to create it with the wrong people.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back. Because I'm glad you just used it.
Because you're right in the wheelhouse.
You just used the term, the black agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for years, I used to watch it on C-SPAN.
You know where I'm finna go with this.
Yeah, I'm
gonna
go with you.
Once a year.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with you.
Tavis Smiley, Cornell
West.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. That's not even an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Was part of this. Tavis Smiley and Tom Joyner, actually.
Mm-hmm. Roland Martin.
Were part of this huge weekend of creating the Black agenda and wanting to put an agenda together that they would then take to and hold politicians. They invited Democrats and Republicans to sit on this stage to come in and take questions, along with political activists and everybody else, and neighborhood activists and community activists. And it sounded really, really good. Even our brother, the former comedian but still activist, Dick Gregory,
mm-hmm.
was there. Powerful speakers. Powerful speeches came from some of that.
Great speeches.
Mm-hmm. But a whole lot of infighting took place.
That's where I'm going. I'm glad you get
a whole lot of infighting took place. Tavis Smiley,
yes.
Tom Joyner don't even talk no more.
Yes.
Tavis Smiley and Cornel West spent 7 years denigrating the first Black president of the United States.
Yes.
Publicly.
You're hitting it.
Because here's our problem.
Come on.
We try to create a reality apart from God.
Ooh.
You cannot have unsaved, unredeemed people that have intelligence but not the Spirit of God. You cannot unite on a platform with people who hate God.
Oh, my.
And so the intelligence and the pride, the Bible says knowledge puffs up.
Puffs up.
It will not work until we get Spirit-filled, Spirit-led believers, real leaders together at a table to once and for all decide that the community and the city is important enough for us to galvanize our efforts.
Mm.
I have had people ask me, Apostle, when are you going to run for office? God never called me to run for office. God called me to fund politicians. I'm a businessman. So I build businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I create income streams. I try to divorce people from poverty because people who are in poverty vote from an impoverished mindset. So I understand my place.
Mm-hmm.
When we got people that don't understand their place, they try to create a place for themselves. And this is why you have all this infighting and name calling. Farrakhan, he basically just dishonored and disrespected Jesse Jackson in front of everybody because, again, he's trying to make a name for himself. But now you had, Mr. Farrakhan, you had one of the leaders of the neo-Nazis come to your meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You had him there. You ain't never had me at your meeting.
Because exactly.
You know what I'm going to say. I'm going to ask you some questions because we can't trust you because we know what you did.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So in our community, we'd rather adhere to a speech than long-term behaviors that have actually been proven to be effective.
That's,
because we're looking for the Messiah name
instead
of the work.
It's because we've gotten so comfortable with the Sunday morning
denomination.
Make me feel good talk. And then I go back home to my mess.
Exactly.
No, there's no change. No change in life. No change in lifestyle. But oh, you preached. Oh, you preached me good. This is the church side or a politician. Oh, he gave a wonderful speech, but nothing changed.
Nothing
changed.
They were so excited about Obama and the Democratic National Convention. Oh, this is the next big thing because he's a great orator.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was nothing up under him to support anything, and we didn't have a coalition of individuals
to hold him accountable.
Could have presented him something to say, Obama, we want you to do this. We all assumed that he knew what we wanted. It was never drafted.
But
it was never constructed.
Problem,
and we never had a coalition of individuals.
The issue with Obama, and please.
That had money.
Right. Don't y'all call up in here getting on me, because I know some of y'all got y'all picture of Jesus, y'all image of Jesus, and y'all
Dr.
Obama
King
pictures
and Obama.
Hanging up in y'all house. Don't write this show. I don't want to hear it. But we didn't put Obama was not a he's a real Chicago dude. First of all, let's just be real about that. He's not a real Chicago dude, meaning that he knew what was really happening.
Right.
And then he did not have people around him close enough to him. I'll say that there was some around him, but they weren't close enough to have his ear. That they could say, hey, you really need to address this.
only national stuff he addressed. But when it got down to, you know, certain things, he didn't have anybody saying, hey, he didn't have that. He had that Jonathan.
Right.
Use that. He had that Jonathan to say, hey, man, fix this now.
Right. But this is what happens in our community when leadership is disconnected. Everybody is trying to be somebody.
Yeah. Everybody wants the platform.
So the thing is, if you cannot humble yourself, this is a biblical principle.
Yeah.
Humility does not mean I let people take advantage of me. Humility Ooh. Means I'm willing to lower myself to be what I'm supposed to be so that I can help others be what they're supposed to be. If you are the politician in the room,
mm-hmm.
then I want to write you a check to be the politician.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the preacher in the room,
mm-hmm.
when you open up and you read your scripture, I
mm-hmm.
want to say amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we haven't done that in our community. So we got preachers trying to be businessmen. We got businessmen trying to be politicians. We got politicians trying to be preachers. And everybody is off, and our community continues to implode on itself
mm-hmm.
because we don't want to get out of the way and let the people be great in the area that they're supposed to be great. We have to fund political campaigns. Politics is run by money.
Nothing more.
And because we don't have a collective economic plan or agenda,
mm-hmm.
the church doesn't have an economic agenda at all. So now you want to be political, but you don't have an economic agenda. You don't have two pastors in the city that will come together and say, hey, man, let's buy a piece of property together and split the profit.
That's true.
Let's open up a corner store together.
That's African-American pastors.
African-American pastors.
There you go.
Let's do that so that we can begin to create income streams so that we can put a brother in. Let's get an alderman. Let's get one alderman on the west side that's coming out of our community, that's coming out of our church, that's going to speak for us and work for us. Let's try that just on that level. We've never had that. So we want to jump way into presidential politics.
Yeah,
you ain't even got no authority in your community. Don't nobody respect you.
We compromise too much.
It's that dollar, brother.
We have compromised too much. And what happens, I believe, we have a problem. It's a war between doctrine and Bible.
Mm-hmm. That's
that,
good.
That's the war right there. We're more consumed with doctrine and forgetting about Bible. And that's why we're losing the spiritual edge,
yes.
because we're focused on what's in black and white in the wrong concept. And so what happens with Bible, you can easily hide, but doctrine is what takes you to court, is what make you lose everything. But we don't understand the spiritual aspect will make you be diminished from everything. And so what happened in this, you said something so key, because we said this a lot, why pastors can't come together. Why, you know, we're coming together prayer visual, but truth be told, we're not together then. You know, I went to a meeting just recently about the 1,000 men march and all that, and I'm sitting back like, wow, okay. What is it that's craving in our community we're not feeding? There's a big crave in our communities.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
There's a big crave, but we're not providing the necessary food.
This is what's happening in our communities in Chicago. I'm going to talk about Chicago because I know Chicago. I've been here 47 years. Because the church has not addressed what is going on in our families, that fractionalization, that lack of male leadership in our homes has spilled over into our communities. That's why our young boys are so willing to become gang members. They're driven by anger because of the rejection of their fathers. Our young girls are out here with Daisy Dukes on and halter tops because they're looking for the attention of men. We have to, as the church, we have to galvanize, unify, disciple, and develop men to be leaders in their home. We're trying to do something in the White House, and we ain't did nothing in our house. Our families are a wreck. Our churches are weak and divided because that's what we are in our homes. The churches are the reflection of the family. That's why the Democratic Party spent so much time destroying men and destroying our families. A black child is more likely to end up in prison than college because that is the prison pipeline that they're building. From the time a child steps into third grade, their test scores determine where they're putting these kids. And as men, we haven't stepped up and acted like men. So everything lies at the foot of the men in our communities. If you know more about ghost on power than you know about what's going on in your community and political power, you are a part of the problem.
So let me ask you a question. You know what? You just mentioned power. You know, and it's, I don't know if this far-fetched or way off, but maybe you guys can correct me. You know, on Scandal, they got that B 13B16, whatever that is with the government.
Oh, yeah, the little secret organization.
There's no secret organization.
That's real.
Yeah. That's real.
Yeah, they call it M16.
M16, that's real. So is that what really control everything that's going?
Yeah. If you go to Washington, D.C. right now, the entire city of Washington, D.C. is built on a pentagram.
Yeah.
So we don't understand history. Our people don't study. So the Freemasonry, the Freemasonry that's built into the foundation of this country. This is why so many people are confused and call this country a Christian country. This is never a Christian country.
Never have been.
It was built on a theist ideology and philosophy built on the foundation of white supremacy.
Yeah.
And so if you don't address that and you don't deal with that, you won't understand why cities like Boston or New York with the 5 points, Chicago, is built on that system.
Talk, man.
And you do not have access unless you go through that system.
Exactly.
That's why we got to build our own table.
You got to go through that system.
Because if you go to their table, you're going to bow.
So is it almost certain to say, this might get me in trouble? Men of color that sits on that hot seat have had to go through that system of compromising as in selling out. And
you're going to be a Freemason. You're going to be a Shriner.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to join the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission.
Uh-huh.
You will not become the president of the United States without one of those under your belt. Stop playing. These are rich, powerful people. So minus our amalgamation and unification on the ground level, they will continue to do. President Trump was selected back in the 80s.
Yeah.
I keep trying to tell people.
Yeah.
They were putting him on television.
Yeah.
He was being interviewed. Donald Trump has switched political parties
five times. Yeah. I didn't know that until they said that.
Yeah.
I got all the documentation. That's why people try to argue with me.
Yeah.
You can't argue with me. I've been in this since 1989.
And then he also said he'd never be a Republican.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
He funded Hillary and Bill Clinton.
Yes.
Campaign.
Yes.
Nancy Pelosi is in power now because of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
In
California.
But now
he's
the Republican Messiah, and God has called him to be the Messiah of the United States.
He was never their choice. It's just that they created.
No, he was their choice.
Right, but they created a monster that they could not control.
No, they control the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, he's a puppet.
The problem is
everything that Donald Trump does has already been preconceived.
He's a
and
puppet.
Developed for him.
Even the crap that comes out of his mouth
They know that.
Now, you know how.
Especially.
Baby, you know how I realized that?
Quiet.
Pence did his. Press conference.
Pence got to stay clean because he know it won't be long.
No, he can't now. He done messed himself up speaking on behalf of the president. The stuff that he said.
They gonna just say he was a good soldier.
Okay,
I'm just telling you. They gonna say he was a good soldier. Anyway, you about to say something?
I changed my mind.
Here's a question from, and I'm sorry for ignoring y'all on Facebook Live. I appreciate all y'all for watching and listening. And y'all, you got questions? Email the show, takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. If you're already listening on the line and you got a question, just push 1. We'll recognize you. Ask any of us a question or comment about anything. Connie C. Swain Love says, question, why must it be someone who has a known name to be the voice? Does it have to be someone with a known name? Then she said elect you, but you said you ain't running. That ain't
running.
Your deal. But does it have to be a known name?
Our people are starstruck.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're not into quality of person. This is why this. Let me tell you something that happened to me that really drove this home for me. I was asked to come and speak at a graduation ceremony in Atlanta.
Okay.
The person who will remain nameless sent me the invitation on the behest of the school.
Mm-hmm.
The school decided that they wanted a rapper.
Yeah.
Now, this rapper that they chose to speak at this event is from Atlanta.
Oh.
Now, this person doesn't have a degree in anything.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's a rapper and he's famous, they thought he would have more to say in an academic graduation than a person with 2 degrees who's built businesses,
right.
who has an owner, the executive director of one business, the CEO and the chairman of 2 other businesses. I sit on the board of 20 businesses worldwide. I do business all over the planet. They thought that a rapper had more to say to academic students than me. So they rescinded my invitation.
Mm.
This is what we're dealing with. Snoop Dogg will get respect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
James, LeBron James' attorney, nobody even knows his name.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would love Beyonce to come to their school, but her entertainment attorney,
mm-hmm.
who went to college and
mm-hmm.
got a law degree,
mm-hmm.
you don't even know his name.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in a place where education and knowledge
mm-hmm.
is despised. That's why they don't come to churches like ours, because
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to learn something. You're going to have to do some work. So we're going to go down there to Barbecue
mm-hmm.
Inspirational Nacho Church, and he going to sit, yeah, in the mic for 20 minutes every Sunday for 20 years. We're not going to learn nothing. We're not going to have no money. Our credit ain't going to get fixed. We're going to be paying rent. We're going to be in here selling nachos and Pappy apples and hot dogs until Jesus come back. And the whole community is going to hell, gangbangers shooting each other in the head every single day. There will be no evangelism. There will be no impact, no touch in the community. And we're going to call that church.
I'm sorry. I died.
And you know, that's sad. Because we fight in the war also with what's preaching and what's not preaching. What's good.
Yes.
And that's what's really hurting our church.
Yes.
And I said this before, how the church is caught up between church and ministry. You know, a lot of us just want to church it. We're not doing no ministry.
No.
And then also keep this in mind, that we need to learn how to bridge the gap between social justice and the church.
Yes.
We have to learn how to bridge that gap. And because we're ignorant of the fact, the church is ignorant of social justice because we don't know the need that's in our communities. That's why we're dying.
Right.
When a horrible death.
It's the work. It's the commitment and dedication to work. The Bible says faith without works is dead. You do not change a community long distance. Jesus was in the city, on the ground, in the face. The Bible says that Jesus was the friend of publicans,
yeah.
Republicans, and sinners.
Friends.
He was friends with them. He sat down with them. There were conversations that were had.
Yeah.
Most pastors don't know who's calling shots in their community.
They don't.
Because you ain't holy. You don't wear white every day.
No, because
you don't wear a suit to church.
They want to call the shots.
So instead of getting in these guys' faces and saying, man, let's build a relationship. Okay,
yeah.
If you can sell $50,000 a week worth of drugs, maybe if we teach you how to sell cars, you could do the same thing. Maybe if we teach you how to sell houses, maybe we teach you how to sell T-shirts. All these guys that are rapper guys used to be drug dealers, and they converted their drug business into legitimate businesses. Anybody can do it. I was one. I was a maniac folk on a hustler. I was gangbanging, selling weed, crack, cocaine. I did all of that. I got saved my junior year in high school, and I went from doing that to selling real estate all over the planet.
Let me bring a point to something you guys both mentioned. You talked about the church and the denominations and all of that stuff. Yesterday, while I was at this Light Fest concert, it was a noticeable thing. It was out in Aurora. Aurora is a mixed bag of pretty much everything. And one of the things that came up when they introduced, before the show started, they put up a little video display of Pastor Spencer's church. The church is actually in the midst of celebrating their 150th year anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah. And what was so interesting was he had different members speak on the church. And the most noticeable thing was, I saw somebody look like you. I saw some folk that didn't look like you. I saw folk that didn't look like now, you, white, black, Hispanic, Indian, East Indian,
yes,
all of that. And somebody asked me, oh, does his church has a diverse church? I said, absolutely. I said, because it's not to say that the black church time has passed, but based on how we act currently today, your church ain't going to survive. And it's not saying you need those, you need people, but you have to be able to teach everybody. And if all you're doing, to get back to what you were just joking about, the ha and the him, and if that's all you know how to do, you're not going to attract businessmen.
No.
You're not going to attract investors. You're not going to attract any of those people, because after all that him and hawing, back to what you said, what's your plan?
What is your strategy?
What is it?
I'm in the room with these guys every week. They want to fund things in the church. But if you come to a funding meeting,
I need $10,000.
And they ask you, okay, well, what are your numbers? How much does it cost to run your program? Well, see, God gave me this vision. See, amen. The Lord want me to help people.
And I
praise the Lord.
And you just need to write me a check.
Okay. So if we give you this money, what is this money going for? How much does it cost for your employees? What are their operational costs? You don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind hooping. I like hooping. Some of my favorite mm-hmm. preachers are hoopers, mm-hmm. but they're hoopers with substance.
Right.
With substance. And when they come out of that hooping thing,
yeah.
they could sit at a table.
Yeah.
Stephen Thurston.
Yeah.
One of my favorite
yeah.
preachers.
Yeah.
But Stephen Thurston could sit at a table
yeah.
and tell you how to run a business.
Yeah.
Gardner C. Taylor. That's why I studied.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I studied preacher by mm-hmm. listening to Gardner C. Taylor,
mm-hmm.
one of the greatest preachers ever. But this is a man who could sit down and tell you how to build a school.
At this event, one of the things that stuck out was at the very beginning, the mayor of Aurora, the mayor, because we talked about
the
politics.
Mayor.
Yeah, the mayor of Aurora, who is black, came out.
First black.
Yeah, I believe he is.
First black.
Came out on the stage with Pastor Spencer mm-hmm. to say, hey, when he came to me and said, you know, we do all these other events, and he says he wanted to do something, and this is the mayor's words, he wanted to do something that promoted Jesus. He says, I jumped at the opportunity and said, what do you need?
Yes.
The mayor said that.
He
and then all of these other businesses,
gave
Presence money. Hospital, Presence Mercy Hospital. I can't think of the other two, three main spots. But they said, what do you need from us?
Because it makes sense for us to invest. Pastor Chris Harris
Come on.
Is someone I work with. He just initiated
yeah.
What they call the Turn Center.
Okay.
It's an urban renewal network. It's a clinic designed to help people with mental illness
mm-hmm.
in the black community that normally could not afford it or didn't even know that they needed that kind of help. And he has partnered with Northwestern University. He's partnered with the University of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
Cigna, United Way,
mm-hmm.
major, major financial donors, because he did 4 years of research and study, traveling back and forth to Israel at the Natal Center, seeing how they handled the mental stress and trauma of Israelites who were being attacked by Palestinian terrorists. And
mm-hmm.
he brought that back here to Chicago in Bronzeville. He has a meeting. He invites pastors, and he can't get 20 pastors in a room to help him deal with mental illness in the city of Chicago.
Because they don't believe it to be true.
But the University of Chicago can understand the language.
But they don't believe it. The problem is we don't believe it to be true.
Northwestern understands the language.
We sat in a meeting.
This is what we're dealing
we
with.
We sat in a meeting at the 15th District Police Department 2 months ago. And someone from the West Side Health Authority came in and said, there is a mental disease issue going on in our community.
Epidemic.
And he says, we are trying, watch this, to train pastors how to spot it. Because he says, trust me, there is one or two in your church and you don't realize it. And he says, you'll think of it. He says, don't get me wrong. I understand. This is the doctor now. He says, I understand demonic attack.
Yeah, but that ain't it.
He said, but this ain't that.
You know,
this is the doctor saying that. He says, I'll tell you why. He says, I've had family members who were under demonic attack, and I have family members who were bipolar.
Yes.
There is a difference.
Big difference. But these are the things that as pastors, if we're going to address our community and political power and economic power and social power, we have to be versed in this. We got to do some research. As a pastor, you got to do some work because your people need more than yeah every Sunday. They are dealing with heavy generational issues, and if it is not addressed at length, we're going to continue to implode. Our communities are imploding.
If you're not mentally in tune, it's hard to be spiritually cultivated. A lot of times we try to do the opposite. We want
yes.
the spiritual to come, then the mental. But in order to understand the spiritual, you must first be mental.
Yes.
And then there's a crisis, which we gotten this taken away a while ago, that we have not even tried to get it back. The mental health
yes.
state taking funding away from us. And so when they
that's
did
the
this,
truth.
When they did this, now kids that's doing all this stuff in our communities, these drug addicts and alcoholism, all that's taking place, there's no help for them.
None.
So their resources to go back and go deep into what they indulge in. And so what happened, I'm glad Chris Harris is doing it. I just partner Dana with Clarence Sutton. He's from Austin High School. He came out in 91.
Okay.
And he has an organization called Chicago Therapeutic.
Yes.
Which they provide all these resources
wow.
that we need in our community. And believe it or not, on my way here, I just got off the phone with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to figure out how can we he take over Chicago. Because he's doing a great deed in Florida. He's doing it in North Carolina, South Carolina. I mean, they're doing it big.
Should have brought him to the show, man.
No, he's out of town.
Oh, he's not here. Okay,
yeah, right.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
he has representation here.
Okay.
But we're trying to connect and bridge that gap to figure out How can we? They got funding.
So we need
they
to start
funding.
Training.
They
like
got
he
funding.
Said, because one of the things that we're doing at the Turn Center is we're trying to have pastors because we're on the front line.
Sure.
We're in a community.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Most African-Americans are not going to admit that they have something going on.
Exactly.
Even though it's traumatic.
Exactly.
We're getting 100 kids shot a week.
Right.
They did a survey. 39% of the kids that they surveyed in Bronzeville suffered from depression, from mild to wild, what we call mental
mm-hmm.
issues.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So a person like that, that has that type of resource, we need to begin to identify people that we can train to be on the front lines, to begin to address and help people connect to these resources. Because my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. People don't know.
And can I be honest with you? Here it is. And Yolanda King made a point. She said, the church promote praying away depression and mental issue. And if you can't pray it away, it's your fault because your faith and prayers aren't strong enough.
That's what they'll say.
Yeah. But the problem is the people who suggesting us to do it, they got mental issues themselves.
Absolutely.
And so here it is.
Absolutely.
They got problems that they've been dealing with since they was a kid. But even that now they grow.
And they cover it up with religion.
They cover it up with religion.
We're trying to figure out why the whole church is crazy.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you're on point, man.
Exactly.
This is the exact thing that we have to deal with because we're trying, and this is what's why so many people are disappointed with the church and with leadership. I'll never go to church. All they care about is tithes and offerings. Okay, when we present a program to deal with mental illness, you talked about the cutting of mental health funding in the state of Illinois.
Sure.
We're the number one state in the country
mm-hmm.
for reducing mental health. We've cut
mm-hmm.
almost $100 million out of the budget.
Wow.
We had 12 mental health facilities. We only have 6 now.
Wow.
And Bruce Warner and Mike Madigan are getting ready to close another one.
Yeah.
They
wow.
can't fund it. And they will not pass this budget. That's going to come in September. Some more
wow.
money is going to cut out. So we're going to wind up with 3.
Wow, in this entire state.
60% of prisoners in the state of Illinois suffer from mental illness.
Definitely.
They have criminalized mental illness. And so this is a political issue.
Yes.
Because we'd rather incarcerate than treat. We'd rather incarcerate than educate.
Wow.
So if we do not get
wow.
the mental well-being of leaders together, they will not be able to properly heal the population so that we can mobilize as a unit to address these issues that are affecting all of our communities.
Can you be a pastor today? Let me get this right. Can you be a pastor today in this current state that we're in right now, this current state of affairs that we're dealing with right now, and not be actively engaged in the community?
Yes. I'm going to tell you what.
No,
right, no,
okay,
no, hear
me. Go ahead.
You can.
Ahead,
just hold the title.
No, that's why I said, okay, let me say this again. Can you be a productive pastor?
There you go, effective.
Effective pastor.
No.
And deal with and ignore your surroundings, the people in your church. I used this yesterday. Matter of fact, yesterday I taught Sunday school yesterday.
You're
right,
get me in trouble.
So yesterday,
I'm about to get in trouble. That's why I'm trying to be quiet.
Yesterday's Sunday school lesson was the dealt with the culture of the call,
mm-hmm.
and it dealt with Philip and the eunuch, right?
Absolutely,
Philip and the eunuch, and how Philip,
the Ethiopian eunuch.
Thank you, appreciate you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, how culturally they should have never had a conversation because of their level, because of who they were, his level and Philip's level, because the eunuch was rich and the eunuch was, you know, was one who served underneath the queen and everything else, and how God engineered this thing to happen where Philip would just happen to be. He told Philip to get somewhere and go and just stand. No, don't go approach him. Just stand next to him and then respond based on what you hear.
Yes.
So then he heard
him reading,
and then he turned in and opened the door to say, hey, do you know what you read?
Do you understand?
Do you
understand?
So, the reason I asked this question is because I said it yesterday. All of this depression in the church, all of this illness in the church, physical illness in the church.
Yes.
I ain't even talking about the spiritual illness. I've never seen so many folk with depression. Cancer is like everywhere.
And diabetes.
But that's been there.
High blood pressure.
Those two things.
Heart disease.
But all
obesity.
Of this in the church mm-hmm. where there's supposed to be healing, where there's supposed to be deliverance,
yep.
where the power is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But yet in our churches, there's more of that than there is evidence of power, because we've gotten comfortable with just doing church.
Our mission is off.
No, we haven't. There is no mission. It's just church. There's no ministry. It's just church.
In economics, they call it supply and demand.
Mm.
So now watch this. If you come to my church mm-hmm. and you go through our discipleship program.
We got 5 good minutes. Y'all come
one of the things that you're going to have to address is your daily disciplines. So now if we have to deal with how much water you drink, mm. your exercise program, your diet, getting off pork, getting off beef, mm-hmm. eating fruits, vegetables, taking your vitamins, walking, running, and taking care of yourself, and you're used to eating Chico sticks and Twinkies and all this kind of stuff, you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Exactly.
If we have to deal with all of the molestation and rape that went on in your family and yeah. your Uncle Eddie was a freak and nobody in the family talked about it, and now you're suffering from mental illness and now you're trying to get married and now you bring all that dysfunction into your marriage, now you want marriage counseling. You, ain't nothing wrong with your marriage.
Right.
You need some help.
My.
People don't want to address and uncover those issues because they have created personas out of those issues to which they adhere. And so when you come and say, okay, we want to heal you, we want to deliver you, they go to the church where they're not being challenged. I can go over there and fry fish. Ain't nobody going to bother me in my mess.
Exactly.
Bishop Brazier just had to kick a lady out for getting married. She was a lesbian. And yeah. they got mad at him for addressing sin in the church. Well, why aren't you kicking out everybody? No, we're addressing this right here. Donald Trump, we ain't talking about everybody. We talking about the neo-Nazis and the Ku Klux Klan. See, we want to be indirect when it's stuff we don't like, but then we want direct stuff when it's, you know, when it's dealing with somebody else.
I agree.
So I'm done.
I agree.
Oh, my God. Look, y'all, this has been good. I need to make this announcement, and then I want to give these guys a few last closing remarks. Where is it at? I lost it. I pulled it up, and now I can't find it. Oh, pray for me, y'all. All right, there it is. Doom Hoops 5-on-5 basketball tournament Saturday, September 16th at 5 p.m. It's the Beverly Center, 3031 South 25th Avenue. It's $25. So if you want to play, it's 20. If you want to actually bring on your own 5-on-5 team, it's $25 plus canned goods. If you just want to come and watch, bring canned goods with you. And you can get in. Well, it's $1 plus canned goods. All the canned goods, Charity Prostate Cancer Foundation of Chicago. That's where it's going.
Awesome.
And if you know anything about prostate cancer, black men. That's all I need to say. If you want to get some prostate cancer, black men. So this helps. Again, it's Saturday, September 16th at the Beverly Center. That's a great place out in Broadview, 3031 South 25th Avenue. It's an entry. They really they got a lot of teams. They really want you all to. They really just want the canned goods. So even if you can play, if you don't have to, just get y'all got stuff on y'all shelves. Come on now. Or guess what? Go to Aldi's and just go spend $20. Can you still get a can of stuff from Aldi's for a dollar? I don't. Y'all know I'm a little bougie.
Yeah.
Can you still get?
Oh, okay. Quite certain.
Okay. So go anywhere, go wherever, get some stuff in the can, some food, and bring it out there. Watch some good 5-on-5 basketball tournaments at 5 p.m. Next Saturday, but that Saturday, September 16th, 5 p.m. I'll make the announcement again. I may even see if I can get my brother Adam Dow to come in and be a part of the show. I don't want no conflicts, though, but if he can come in and do that, that would be great. That would be great. Look, man, this has been awesome. Y'all, appreciate you coming out.
Thank you for inviting me. Awesome.
And it's gone. And there may be more. I'm sure there's going to be more from this. And we'll keep our eyes to it. And, you know, you did a Facebook Live the other day. And I was like, man, he should have been here. So in the future, you got something. God give you something, man. Just hit me up. You know.
Yes, sir.
The door is open.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
You know, seriously. Because this platform is for you brothers who are actually doing stuff. I applaud my brother on the end down here for what he does, man. That's the thing you do, the giving back with limited resources.
Yeah.
Limited resources. I applaud that. The stuff that you're doing, man, on the business side, that stuff needs to be known about. And the more we can do that, the more we can promote that, the more people will start to take advantage of it. And we have people on today, I know for a fact, that normally don't watch my show, but I call them spies, but I saw their names pop up, you know, but, and that's a good thing because the information is good. So
yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's good, man. Pray us out, God.
As we pray, I just want everyone to know the hope for the world is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit of God is that unifying power. Zechariah 12:10 calls it the Spirit of grace. It is a supernatural ability of God given to all believers to do God's will across the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We are not limited to just the church.
Yeah.
God has called us to disciple nations.
Yeah.
And as we pray today, Father, we just thank you today for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for his empty cross and his empty grave.
Mm.
We thank you, God, that through his authority, through his power, and through his spirit, we will unify as the body of Christ. We will come together, and God, we will build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm.
Father, we glorify you. We thank you for these men. We thank you for these leaders. We thank you for their willingness, God, and their heart to see things get better. Bless them, God. Cause everything that they need to do what you have called them to do, to manifest now, God. Cause every person that you've ordained to bless their life to manifest in the precious and mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. My God. We bless y'all. We thank y'all. I appreciate y'all. Y'all know if I had the time, I would stay here for another 35, 40 minutes with these brothers, but I got to go. Y'all stay blessed, and we'll see y'all on Wednesday. And remember, And y'all know y'all, sometimes y'all think y'all say it for a joke, but it was never meant that way. If you got to drive through this city, hell, if you got to walk through this city, keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed. TTLO, we are out.